But we're going to talk about joy. And I'll be honest, it's been very easy to think about joy today and yesterday. Like I put in the bulletin, I'm very grateful for the parts that so many people here have played and will continue to play in helping Jared towards the decision that he made yesterday. We're very grateful that Kathy and Brian were able to come out and make it over there. Also had one of those, just felt like one of those God things where a lot wasn't going right with getting everything set up. Should have been easy. I've got a key to the church. Should have been able to come in and get it done, right? Of course, we joke timing is everything, or we haven't had much need for the baptistry in the past year, and then as soon as we decided to redo it, there we go. So we said, well, let's see if we can go over to Lapeer, and I think the first five people I called didn't answer their phones. Tried calling the secretary, called all the elders that I had in my phone, and I was trying to figure it out, and I ended up calling, went to go get a copy of the bulletin to see who am I missing here, and thought of one of the deacons is a good friend of mine, and Rachel and I were talking afterward. They were kind of the role that Kathy and Brian served for the boys here, taking them on as their own, really. That was these guys over up here. And Steve and Don Kershaw came out and unlocked the building and joined us. And we're just talking about, I don't think it's a huge deal they were there. It was special for them and special for us for them to be there. But boy, a lot of things had to happen for those people to end up being there. It's pretty far down the list of the biggest things that happen, but it's just kind of cool when you think about those God things. Felt it. Wanted to share that. So we finished talking about love. We went through those four steps there. And today we get into the next of the fruits of the Spirit, and we're going to look at joy. And this was the first week of these where I get to dig in and go through stacks of verses and try to make a roadmap for what the Bible has to say about each of these fruits of the Spirit and try to see, get a coherent picture and give us an idea where we're going. And I admit, I had fun with joy. I think this is going to be a good study. There's a lot in the Bible about joy, as you might expect. But there's a development of the way the Bible talks about joy. I don't know what you think of when you think of joy. I don't know if you think of certain songs that I'm sure we'll end up hearing sometime this month. We think of Joy to the World. We think of Ode to Joy. Got the joy, 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 joy. Yeah, that's going to be one of the ones up here. Devil doesn't like it, sit on attack. And you think of the songs, maybe you just think of happiness. Sometimes I think we think of joy and happiness as synonyms. They certainly go along together. I'm looking forward to having some conversations throughout these next few weeks. That's something that I ended up enjoying the last few weeks. We didn't have a lot of engagement on the one time that I put something on the Facebook, but we end up talking and we get the ideas of what we think of these things. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you think about joy. But this morning I want to track joy through the Bible. I want to start in the Old Testament because it shows up a lot there in the Old Testament. Let's start with the first three occurrences. It shows up three times in the Pentateuch. The first five books, the Torah, you know, those found it only three times. But it kind of sets up the way that this is used in the Old Testament. So let's look at these. The first time it shows up, Genesis 31. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing to the music of timbrels and harps? And this is probably the biggest usage in the Old Testament. When you're talking about joy, you're talking about singing. You're talking about shouting. When we look in the Old Testament about joy, it is almost always accompanied with shouts and sings. And sings? Singing. Being in the moment and expressing this joy. Another way that we see it in the Old Testament, first showing up in Leviticus, is joy is often accompanied in worship, which, again, the singing is still there, the shouting is still there. I don't know if we necessarily shout so much in our worship, but we sing with joy. We have those ideas. But here it says, fire came out of the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. This connection of joy and shouting with worship. We see that several places in the Old Testament. And the third time that it shows up in the Pentateuch and in the Bible as a whole, it's another connection to worship, but in a little different way, in the festivals. Their festivals were connected to ideas of joy. And so this is talking about 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. And so we see these three ideas, especially in the more narrative sections of the Old Testament, as we see moving through the story of their history, kind of like we did in the Wednesday night class last year. As we look through the story and those narratives and those history books, we see these big ideas. What is joy? Joy is something you proclaim. Joy is something that you shout. Joy is something that is expressed in worship. Joy is something that is expressed in those important days. And we shout and we sing and we get it out and we let God know how we're feeling. And that feeling is joy. And so, while those ideas are begun, I'm having a rough time today. Those ideas are begun there in the Pentateuch. We see them throughout these narratives. We see in Ezra, when the temple is rebuilt, we see that as they're looking on the temple, they're praising and in thanksgiving, they're singing praises. And there's this interesting note here. All the people gave a great shout of praise because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Good news, recognizing this. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. And I thought this verse was interesting. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sounds of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. Excuse me. So in this scene, where they're getting this reconnection to the temple, they're getting in touch with the place of the joy before, and for some it is renewed joy, and for some it is sorrow for what joy was there before and was lost. And so this is just mingling together, weeping and joy, and we can't tell the difference. But both of these are expressing something in the moment. And then in Esther, talks a lot about joy and talks about, if you might recall, at the end of Esther, they are instituting a new holiday, Purim. And I picked these verses here, but there are several verses in chapter 9 of Esther that that talk about joy, and they keep pairing these words of feasting and joy. We had feasting and joy. Mordecai wrote these events down, sent the letters to the Jews, let them all know, time to celebrate. That the song leaders I was talking about. We haven't made that distinction in a while, have we? Celebrate every year at the time the Jews got the relief from their enemies. If you remember this story, you'll remember the threat from Haman. If you don't, ask the boys. We talked about it in Bible class this morning. They'll tell you. Maybe. And it says their sorrow was turned to joy, mourning into celebration. It said they experienced, but it didn't have joy, and now it was here. It said, observe these days, feasting and joy, give presents of food to one another, gifts to the poor, expressing these things of what's going on, being in the moment. You go through the Psalms and you see them. You see this word throughout. And it often is this expression of sing, shout, lift up, bring out joy. Sing for joy to the Lord. Shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Come before him with thanksgiving. Extol him with music and song. This is the idea through that history of the Israelite people of when they see God is there, when they see the movement of what God is doing, they experience this joy, and it just comes out. I probably shouldn't shout and sing too much when we've got this hot mic, but this is the idea. I was very close to bringing up my word search program and just scrolling through and say, look, sing, 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 shout, shout, shout. You don't need that, though. Trust me, it's there. Or if you want to pull it out, do a search and see that. When you have joy in the Old Testament, you have this expression. Except Job. He's different. We'll maybe talk about him next week. But also, another aspect of the joy that we see in the Old Testament, through the narrative portion, through the story, we have it coming out in this shouting and singing and celebrating. But if you look in the Proverbs and places in the Psalms, the most frequently used words to talk about joy is bring or give. Joy is something that someone can bring to someone else. It can be like a gift. I have just a few brief proverbs here. A wise son brings joy to his father. Foolish son brings grief to his mother. I'm not going to parse that one out too much. But it's this idea of what is brought and received. When justice is done, it brings joy to the righteous, but terror to the evildoer. So not just something a person brings to another person, but justice brings joy with it. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. More of this idea of joy being passed on to someone. Joy to be experienced from a relationship or from an action, a good action of someone. Joy really is still this in-the-moment thing. This is something that wasn't there and then is here, and you appreciate it and grab a hold of it because it might go. Which brings us to the last part in the Old Testament that we see, and we get into the prophets, and we get into some of the darker times, and we get into some of the prophets and the poets talked about the same time period, but they came at it at a different perspective, right? The prophets showed God's feeling about these times. And the prophets talk about how there was joy, and now there's not. And not just that there's something different, but that something has been lost, and we can tell that it's not there. Look at the words of Jeremiah. Joy and gladness are gone from the orchards and the fields. I have stopped the flow of wine from the presses. No one treads them with shouts of joy. Although there are shouts, they're not shouts of joy. Something was felt to be lost. It said, we were shouting, and I remember this. There was joy. That's gone. It's missing. Talking about very much the same time period, Lamentations, talking about the fall of Jerusalem, beginning of exile. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. Of course, elsewhere, and we have a popular Christian song about turned our mourning into dancing, and this is kind of the nature of joy in the Old Testament. It comes and goes, and you hold on to it when you have it, and you praise God when the joy is there. But there are times when it's simply gone. Joel says, the vine is dried up and the fig tree is withered. Pomegranate, palm, apple, all the trees of the field are dried up. Surely the people's joy is withered away. You know, in the way those prophets are able to use their words and paint a picture, they say, think of a tree that doesn't have its life force and it's drying up. That's how we feel. That's how our joy is just drained out, withered, and dried. All right, stand and sing. That's not on the back note. But you get this sense of the tremendous response when the joy is present at the festivals, in the temple, when God is really felt, and then how the mourning and the loss when the joy is not there. You kind of get this. It reminds me a lot of this discussion of presence and absence of God that is seen in the Old Testament song about the people seeking God's presence and lamenting his absence. And taking such pleasure when God is there. And we kind of see joy working in this way. And I think it's interesting to track as we go through there. And we're going to do some more of that in the upcoming weeks. And I hope you spend some time looking at the way joy comes and goes in the Old Testament. But we turn to the New Testament, and I found it very interesting. There's a different looking picture. The New Testament also talks a lot about joy, but it doesn't do it in the same way. There's not as much singing and shouting. There's some. It's not as much of this hang on to it while you have it sort of thing. It talks about joy differently. And you might be able to think of some famous verses on joy in the New Testament. I want to bring out a couple scenes that show the way this is a little different. First, we have from the announcement to the shepherds. The angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. This doesn't seem too different, right? This talks about something is coming that will bring joy. Like what we're used to that. Something happens, we'll bring joy. We try to hang on to it as long as we can and hope we don't lose it. But as we get into this new good news. As we get into the life of Jesus here, the one bringing the joy, we start to see joy talked about in a different way. We don't see shout for joy because you have it right now. We start to see this term that shows up maybe two or three times in the Old Testament, but not in the same way. It talks about the people around Jesus being filled with joy. There were a few places in the Old Testament where it said God filled somebody with joy for a time. But in the New Testament, we start to see people filled with joy. If you have your Bibles, we'll look at a couple of verses in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends out some of his disciples. Sends out 72 of them. And they're going to go out and they're going to teach. They're going to go to various houses, various towns. This is where he talks about, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. This is where he talks about bring peace onto a house and stay there. This is also the dust off your feet section. But this is Jesus telling his disciples to go and start teaching. Show what they've learned, as they are still very much learning. And when they return, in verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And Jesus says, I saw that. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I gave you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. He said, you've got this old idea of joy, about something amazing has happened, and we're gonna hold on to this. He said, no. Hold on to this joy, and you should be rejoicing because of something that is going to last. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you are pleased to do. So we have this idea of don't just rejoice over some good thing happening right now, but recognize that there's something bigger to rejoice in. It talks about Jesus being full of joy. And what joy? How is Jesus full of joy? Through the Holy Spirit. And when we see Jesus talking about you'll be filled with joy, we see Jesus talking about filled with the Spirit, we start to get these ideas of these being very similar, these being very related, and we start to see a new thing of lasting joy. And what we see in Jesus' disciples, as they start to learn about what it means to follow Jesus, and they start to learn more, what they knew here in Luke 10, that they're going out teaching, compared to what they're going to know as they continue through following Jesus and witness the things that they're going to witness and stand alongside him as he returns and returns. Now, as they really learn what this joy is about, you start to see this new lasting nature. Mentioned, we've talked about before at the end of Mark, where it said the women went to the tomb and saw Jesus wasn't there and heard from the angel, and it said they went away afraid. Matthew tells us a little more about that. Because the women hurried away from the tomb afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. We see that a situation where a negative emotion, where fear and perhaps doubt, it's hard to know exactly what's going on in their heads. Some of these things, the sorrow of what had happened to Jesus, it doesn't eliminate the joy. We're not looking at Jeremiah. We're not looking at Joel, where they said that there was fear and there was sorrow, and so there could not be joy. It says they were filled with joy, even while afraid. And these disciples take this joy with them as they carry the gospel. Last text I want to look at is in Acts chapter 13. And this is as the word is spreading. We are into the missions of Paul. And in Acts 13:49, it says, "The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook off the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium." Things weren't going very well. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, joy is no longer this fleeting thing. Joy becomes something you're filled with. Joy becomes an identity. And I can't help notice these connections between the way joy functions in the New Testament versus the Old Testament, and the way that we see joy connected with the Holy Spirit. And think of how the Holy Spirit functioned between the Old Testament and New Testament. It was present in the Old Testament. I've been in classes where they disagree. I don't get it. They're reading a different book than I am. God's Spirit was present in the Old Testament. God would put His Spirit on somebody. It said God's Spirit worked in this way. But then what? It's fleeting. You see Saul filled with the Spirit and the Spirit taken away. And he has to go to Samuel to get a word from the Lord. You see prophets talking about how many years it's been since the word of the Lord came, since the Spirit gave a word. You see the incredible things that happen when God's Holy Spirit shows up in the Old Testament. And then, gone. Until next time. It is something special. It is something that is celebrated when it appears in the Old Testament. But it's not something lasting until Jesus comes. Until God introduces something new. Until Jesus says, "I'm going to fill you with joy. I'm going to fill you with Holy Spirit." And just like we've seen joy in the New Testament, we see the Spirit is something that dwells in God's people. And it is not taken away because of fear. It's not taken away because of sorrow. It's not taken away because of hard times. The Spirit still lives in. And what I see in the New Testament is that joy is the same way. There seems to be a connection between the Holy Spirit and joy. I thought I was going to have a smoother transition to this. I don't. Well, when we're talking about, Fam, you're talking about joy has been on my mind since yesterday. And this is an event that certainly is about the Spirit and being filled. Not many of you were able to be there. Even if it had been here, not many of you would have been able to be here. But I wanted to share this with all of you because you do share in it. I think the song's going to work. We're not going to tinker with stuff if it doesn't. We're just going to play. Joy coupled with the movement of the Spirit. It's the more I look into it, it seems to be something that goes hand in hand. Maybe joy is something more than happiness. But we're going to keep looking at joy. And maybe if something is joy, maybe joy is something more than happiness, then maybe we can learn to be able to talk about joy even when we can't talk about happiness. There's a blessing there. And I ran something by Rachel last night. I said, does this make sense? And she said, yeah, that sounds good. So I changed it. The more I was looking at it, what I said, Rachel, it seems like we talked about love in recent weeks, about how we say that since God is love, that we recognize that love is when God is here. That sounds somewhat familiar. I said, well, maybe you could say joy is what you feel when God has been here. And I'm going to adjust that slightly. I'm going to say joy is what we feel when the Spirit is present. Joy is, perhaps, to say, the footprints of the Spirit, how you can tell something has been touched by the Spirit. Doesn't mean it's always going to be happiness. But joy, lasting joy. We can still sing it and shout it, but we don't have to worry about it slipping away. And I hope that in these next 3 weeks, as we look more into this idea, this fruit of the Spirit, we can maybe better define this movement of the Spirit that we call joy and figure out how we can share this joy. That's all for this morning, though. If you need anything today, if you want to share something out of joy, if you want to share something out of pain, which doesn't mean the absence of joy, if you need to share something with the congregation, or if you need to respond and ask for baptism, we'll find another baptistry. This one will be up and going this next week, but we'll get you. If there's anything you need, let us know. We want to hear. Come forward as we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long?
Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne.